In this session, we are going to talk about building read models as instrument to do querying in your applications, in your systems. Is anyone familiar with read model concept? Great, a few people. But before we start, let me introduce myself a little. Well, I started to work with computers when I was 8, and my father bought me this thing. Is anyone recognize it? Yeah, this is ZX Spectrum computer, but actually made in USSR. This is a clone of British one. Well, the time I wrote my first program in BASIC, I wrote print hello on 10th line, and in a second, in a 20th line, I wrote go to 10. And this time I realized what the infinite loop is. So, after school, I applied to Novosibirsk State Technical University. This is one of the famous technical universities in Russia. And graduated it with master degree in applied mathematics and computer science. After that, I worked in several IT companies in Novosibirsk, and for the last 5 years, I work in 2GIS. It's a local search company based in Novosibirsk, Russia. Has anyone heard about 2GIS? Oh, excellent. I will tell a few words about it. Well, 2GIS provides information about the cities. We know almost everything about all cities in Russia and some number of cities in other countries. Well, we know something about Prague too. Personally, I use 2GIS when I'm in Prague here. With 2GIS, you can get answers to questions like where is this hotel is located, how can I pay for room, and how much does it cost, what restaurants nearby, and many others. We collect all this information and provide it to end users for free using mobile apps, desktop apps, online apps, through API, any kind. And we are making money by advertising. Well, we have sales department in our company. And these guys, sales department, actually consumers of my team and some other teams in R&D department when I personally worked on. We are automating all sales processes for our salesperson. Well, my team in particular builds sales management system, which includes many models such as CRM model, such as advertising management model, and orders management model, and some others. Well, sales is my primary business domain. This business domain is some kind of complex, so it has these characteristics. In sales, we have a few groups of people: salespersons, their managers, analytics, accountants, and some others. And then all of them are responsible for different stages of sales workflows, and they all use the same system as their everyday instrument. Sales has many business processes, many business cases, many scenarios that need to be supported by the same sales management system. In sales, particularly in our company, we have to perform many consistency checks on a regular basis to be sure that there is no conflicts between orders created in our system. And all the advertisements has been sold, can be shipped to our products. And we have a lot of reports. If you're working with money, you need to be sure that everything is okay. The sales management system that what I'm talking about was built by our team in 2010, more than 5 years ago. And basically, we designed it with this classical approach. Who uses approach? Yeah, it's the most familiar one to everyone. Well, we have this is a standard layered application when we have database that decouples from our business logic layer, and we have user interface layer that interacts with business logic through some kind of API. Well, in our case, we use SQL Server as database. We have ORM, of course. We are lazy programmers. We don't like to write SQL code. We like to write some C# code, and we use Link. So we have Entity Framework in our case. In business logic, we have a lot of repositories and services that actually implement our business logic. And in presentation layer, we have MEC, ASP.NET MEC application, a lot of WCF services, and a lot of JavaScript. Well, this is a reasonable way to design applications. There are a lot of successful projects that use it as basic architecture, but it has some restrictions. Especially if you're trying to use it to solve all types of tasks that you have in your complex business domain, like sales business domain. What are these restrictions? Well, when you work directly with data model, at the moment you're losing the meaning of business domain itself. When you write SQL queries, you're dealing with tables, columns, joins, some projections and other things, but you don't even think in terms of business at the time. This happened because almost always your business, your data model differs from your business domain model. When you use this classical approach of architecture, you always need to find balance between reads and writes. If you want to increase the performance of your reads of your queries, maybe you can create some indexes, but you always need to keep in mind that this index can slow your write case down, because it needs to be recalculated. The next thing is changes in the data model. When you change your data model in favor of write cases, you need to update your read cases as well, even if they don't even change. Many business cases started with search. Users are looking for objects they want to work with, depending on their role, their responsibilities, their geographical location, and so many other criteria. So we need to provide them ability to construct search queries and specify parameters to them. In sales, we have a lot of queries. We have a lot of scenarios where people need to do queries. So this leads us to necessary to create some kind of generic query API. Well, this is not a trivial task, actually, if you have a lot of queries that need to be supported by the same API. And the next thing I want to mention here is, in many cases, you need to query data that doesn't belong to the one system, but is spread by many systems. Or you need to query for data that doesn't even store in anywhere and has to be calculated on the fly. So there are many issues with this approach, but how can we solve them? Well, the simple question: we can use different approach, we can use different approach to design some specific parts of our system. Well, I'm talking about CQRS, common query responsibility segregation. Who doing CQRS? Not this time. Well, I need to mention here that CQRS is not something you can apply as is. Without deep understanding of your business domain, without deep understanding of what your what you're doing. Well, the same is also true for domain-driven design. Who using domain-driven design? Right. CQRS uses a lot of concepts from domain-driven design. So the basic idea of CQRS is to separate the query parts of your system from the modification part of your system, from commons, from common part. It's perfectly aligned with CQS principle devised by Bertrand Meyer. And this is basically the separation of concerns. So let's see how we can apply CQRS idea. This is our standard layered application here. We can, almost always, we can choose some business cases when we need to do queries and implement a thin read layer just for them, just for this some number of business cases. And this leads us to the next important concept called bounded context. Well, this is a way to simplify your complex business domain. You can divide it to some number of parts that are very cohesive from the inside and loosely coupled with each other. So instead of having the one big business domain, you have some number of simpler subdomains in this case. Let's move ahead. So in CQRS, you actually can move some query logics to your database, and this by doing this, you will actually make your this thin read layer more thinner. Basically, it's just some kind of API API to query the data directly from your database. If you have a SQL database, you actually can implement this by using views. You can write your data to tables and read your data to views. But here is an important thing I want to mention. In this case, you actually have a different data model for write cases. You have one model for write cases and different model to read cases. If you're doing this, actually you can say that you're using CQRS in your application, basically. With these small changes in our architecture, now we actually can compose queries in terms of data, because this read layer actually built in these terms. But it doesn't actually solve all the issues that I was mentioning earlier. We still have problems here if we need to increase the performance of our system, or if we need to scale because we have a single database here. So the next thing we can do, we can add a separate database just for read layer. But in this case, we need to create some mechanism, some kind of application that will synchronize these two storages. And this is another option of applying CQRS. Here we have two separate databases, and we can scale our read cases as much as we need. And we can stop here if all our problems are solved by this kind of architecture. If not, we can move further, and we can change the way that we actually store the state of our system. Instead of storing the actual state of the system, we can store events that happen to our system. And in this case, event store is append-only storage, and it gives you a great possibilities to scale, because there is no locks, you just only append to it. And this is somewhat that Dino Esposito calls deluxe version of CQRS, luxury one. But from my perspective, there are not so many bounded contexts when you actually need this complex thing. Okay, when you have two physically isolated storages, you need to understand that you're now dealing with a thing that's called dimensional consistency. You always should keep in mind that your data model, your read model will always be slightly different than your write model, because you always will have some kind of lag between those, because it takes time to deliver changes. But in most cases, it's okay. You don't even need to see the changes right after they were made. So eventual consistency is great. So this is basically that I call read model. That call read model. These two components. We can simplify a picture. Just to see the original CQRS idea. Here now we have two different models. We have write model that we can design using an approach that we know, that we like, that perfectly can be implemented in our business domain. And we have separated read model, and we can choose different approach to implement it. For example, we can use Deluxe CQRS in write model, and we can use simple database in read model. In this case, we can even have more than one bounded context with different read models. We can divide our complex business domain to bounded contexts and implement different read models between in them to be able to decrease the complexity of our solution. Make sense? Okay, now let's see how we can actually apply these things to our application that we are built using this classical approach. This is this layered application. To build read model, we can implement some kind of anti-corruption layer, or actually anti-corruption components. We can provide an ability to pass the events outside from our system. We can use the service fabric that was mentioned earlier in the previous session, and we can pass events from outside from our system. In this case, we can build an observer that will observe for these events and stores the data to read model database. If we design our events so they have the whole context, you can figure out what happened in your system with details, it's okay. But in other cases, here you need to actually pull the source system database to be able to get the data that was modified and store it to read model database, but maybe in different schema. And the last thing you can that you need here is some kind of querying API, the application that will read data from database, and user interface layer will work with it to query the data.
One question.
Yeah.
Okay. This observer there.
Yeah.
Is it possible for this valid? To solve this part in a model on Azure Cloud by using, for example, Event Hubs and Stream Analytics.
Yeah, actually.
Okay.
You can actually use it. As another solution, I want to introduce you this project called Nuclear River. It's the project we built in our company, and it's. Basically doing these things. When we faced with these problems that I was described, we actually did this platform that called Nuclear River. And this contains these two components. It has observer and it has querying API. And the important thing that you can use them independently. In some cases, you can use just query and API parts, deliver some ability to query for your read model. Well, what is it? Querying is based on REST API, based on OData protocol. Does anyone use OData in their applications? Yeah. This is actually an open standard for doing queries from the client and to pass the parameters. Well, it's some kind of puzzle that built with Web API, OData libraries, entity framework, all these things provided by Microsoft, all the open source now. We can use them. So the most important thing that querying is driven by read model descriptions. You can use some kind of DSL. We created some simple DSL that based on C sharp. It's strongly typed DSL, and you can describe your actual read model and pass it description to querying component, and it will work by your description. So I have a little demo here. Let me show you how it works in production in our particular case. Here is it. Where is my mouse? Okay. There is a swagger. Do you know what is it? This is some kind of thing that will that you can use to understand what is the contract of your services. So it just shows us some kind of bounded context that we use inside of 2GIS. Well, I need to describe. There is some of CRM case when salespersons into GIS looking for the client, the potential client. They need to get some firms that some companies in the particular cities they can work with. So so here we can see that in our particular read model we have projects. If we will call this method, we will see that we know only about the Prague in Czech Republic. There is one project that's working that we're working with. But let's see how we query for actual companies inside this particular project. We can use this thing to be able to understand how much firms we know about. In total, so here is information about firms about the companies in this particular bounded context, and the whole number of companies we know in Prague is more than 66,000 actually. We need to do we can do some complex more complex things here. We can define some filters. We can actually pass the parameters to our queries. We can create a filter. In this case, we want to query for one particular company. This is actually this place we are now. It's called Park Hotel Praga. And when we try it out, we will actually get this information. And we can do some more. We can expand some value object in terms of domain-driven design of this particular company, if we know about the client that we work with. And here it is. Okay, and the last thing that I want to mention here, we have an ability to know about bounded context description. We can use this metadata description to be able to know about what business context we are working with, and this is machine reading thing, and there are many libraries by you can use many libraries on different platforms to be able to understand this description. Okay, let's move back to our presentation. let me say a few words about the second component, about Observer. Well, it's a pipeline-based engine that actually listens for events from solar system and actually handling them. In our architecture, we have separated fact storage. This is the storage when we collecting all the information from the different from solar system or from different solar systems. Actually, this is subset of data that solar system have, and this is the first stage of this pipeline. On the second stage, we actually built a model using this fact storage that were prepared before. And we built, we built aggregates in read model and control the invariants. Sorry, and this also driven by these read model descriptions. We also can describe what model we are working with. We can describe what data model here and put this description to. The observer component, and it will work with this particular description. Well, observer is a kind of it has no UI. It's a kind of mystery box. So we have telemetry component that we can use to figure out what's happening over there. In this case, we're using Elasticsearch Logstation Kibana. Is anyone familiar with this? Great. This is a quite simple stack, and it provides an ability to publish any trace information. We can publish their values of our performance counters. We can publish their any numbers that we want to know about, or we can even publish their logs. So here's a small demo of it. I'll show you. Here is Kibana. Standard application. So Kibana have dashboards. We can create dashboard, or we can use the created one. And this is actually the charts that are describing what's going on in our system. We can use standard Kibana functionality to understand what's happened in the last 15 minutes, 1 hour, or 4 hour, or everywhere, every data interval we need, and we can actually doing this thing, and this allows us to see what's happening in real time. This is these two stages that I mentioned before. Earlier, this is the first stage when we actually store the data from source system, and this is the second stage that in that we are building our aggregates. These numbers here is actually show us the seconds of this lag between read model and write model. In our case, it's some kind of complex business domain, but in our case, we have 6 seconds of that lag. Okay. So, what the profits that we get when we use when we use read models, or when we use this thing like nuclear real. We actually get high alignment with business. Because we are building our RIG model in business terms, we can actually create our queries in these terms, and we can deliver to our salesperson, to our users of our system, the language that they are talking on. And they can use they can compose queries in this language. Next thing we can have here, we have proper level of remodel decoupling. If we can just create views in our database and use querying component, it's okay. But if this is not enough for us, we can create, we can use the whole system. We can use these two components to be able to scale our data model. Well, with MicroArea we have open standard API like OData, and actually we have a performance because we, in this case, we can scale our application. Okay, I move into the end. In summary, I want to say that classical approach that was mentioned earlier works, but not always. If you have big complex business domain, I think you need to try different approaches to solve the tasks that you have here. But always start from business case, not start with designing your database. Try to understand your bounded context. Try to understand what business actually needs, and build the application from the business case. Actually, this is good to choose the right pattern for the right problem. If you have a smaller bounded context with simpler rules, you don't need this kind of deluxe CQRS architecture in this case. There is open source process that I mentioned earlier, MicroArea. You can use it to save cost, or you can come to us and contribute to it, and we can make this thing better. Well, this is all that I want to say. Thank you. If you have questions, I can answer. There is a few links. They will be on my presentation. Okay, let's go for lunch. Thank you.